I'm William Cooper, and you're listening to The Hour of the Time. Before we get started tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I want to sincerely apologize to my radio audience for my impatience and my little outburst at the end of the program last night. I do have some mitigating circumstances, and quite frankly, I wasn't really speaking to this audience. I was speaking to the sheeple of the world, whom have just tried my patience to the max. This listening audience does not deserve that, and I want you to know that and understand it, and understand that I apologize to you. As always, I will admit when I'm wrong, and I was wrong, at least as far as you are concerned. I've not had any sleep for probably close to 36 to 40 hours. I had stopped in its tracks and attempted takeover and destruction of the Constitution Party, and that's all I'm going to say about that issue, period. Aaron Russo has resigned as chairman, and we are in the process of reorganizing, putting together a board of directors. Mr. Vince DeNiro of Ohio has been appointed the treasurer of the Constitution Party. We will be looking for a secretary. We're also looking for a president. We are asking prominent founding members to fill the vacancies that now exist on the board of directors. The first responsibility that Mr. Vince DeNiro will have will be to perform through an independent agency an audit of the account of the Constitution Party, which I have already done, but we want to make sure that there's another audit done also, so that there are two independent audits in this change of leadership, so there's no question about anything. We need a new national membership director. We still need some state coordinators. So if any of you out there really have the time and would really like to work to help this nation recover from its illness and put some constitutionally committed people in Congress and in the White House, I would sure love to hear from you. And if you'll call here, if nobody's here, leave a message. I promise that I will get back to you. We've had some problems here, too. As you well know, we've had some serious problems. And also, you can fax. The fax number, when we're not on the air, is 520-337-2922. That's 520-337-2922. If you have problems with the 520 area code, try 602. In some areas of the country, they haven't quite made that shift yet. And I understand that some of you are having difficulties getting through. So if you'll just try that, maybe it will help. Now, before I get into tonight's subjects, I've got to discuss a couple of things. One of the things that's been severely eating on my mind is when Annie and I first started out and when I published my book, no one wanted to listen. We were outcasts, literally tossed into the gutter. Every friend we ever had betrayed us. Everybody that we allowed to get close to us ended up in some manner hurting us deeply. And so we developed a certain hardness that I tried seriously to keep up as some armor, some protection against that. Because I understood that these people were functioning from a point of ignorance and a lot of other things. But I wanted to protect my family and, of course, myself. When we came here, I met someone who just, I don't know, made me like him, more than like him. I loved him like a brother. And I became friends with this person. I helped him, and he helped me. We did an awful lot of things together. And at one point, when he was having some financial difficulty, I suggested that I could help. And bear in mind, I did not need to do this, but I wanted to help. I told this person that I would hire his son. But before I would do that, I made him agree that if anything happened, that it didn't work out, and I had to let his son go, that it would not interfere with our friendship. He assured me that no, that would just be a working relationship between myself and his son, and it didn't work out. The kid wasn't interested. He's not a bad kid. He's got a lot of potential. Someday I think he'll be great. But right now his mind is full of kid things. He just got out of high school. He didn't want to clean every day. He didn't want to get up in the morning and be here on time. He didn't want to take just an hour for lunch. And right before the conference, I called everybody into my office and I told them that this is important. These people are coming here. They're to be treated like VIPs. And everybody's got to be here from 8 in the morning until midnight every night. And if anybody doesn't show up, that's it, period. Well, the next morning was the first day. I didn't show up. I didn't yell at him, didn't scream at him, nothing. Just merely directed Annie to write him a check for more than he was due, as a matter of fact. Paid him. And he came in with his sheepish look on his face an hour later. And he knew that he was fired. First thing out of his mouth to Annie was, "Am I fired?" She says, "I'm afraid so," and handed him his check. "You weren't here on time." He left. His father called me and berated me, blamed it on Bart and Mike. They had nothing to do with it. The kid worked for me, and I gave him his instructions. And he made some strange statements. He said, "I know what goes on over there." I said, "What are you talking about? Nothing goes on over here but a broadcast and a newspaper and a library. And when people come for a convention, lectures, a lot of lectures and things." "Oh, I know what goes on over there." I said, "Well, if that's what you think, then you really don't know what goes on over here." "Oh, I know what goes on over there." I said, "What?" "Well, I'm not going to say it on the phone." And then he blamed the two young men, Mike and Bart. So I knew that this gentleman had turned. I'm not going to say any names. So I hung up the phone. I hoped he would come to his senses and come and apologize and remember our conversation. But he did not do that. And later, he came over with his son. And I thought he wanted to talk at that point. Took him back in my office. And he said, "I don't want to talk to you. We just came to get his stuff." So we helped take his son's stuff out to his truck. Later we found the ash cans in front for the people who smoke turned over in front of the door. I sent Mike to find out if this gentleman was going to fulfill an obligation. Mike came back and said, "No, definitely not." So that was the end of that. Now, several months before, I'd had a conversation with this gentleman. We were talking about a specific person who might have been a threat to his security. And he told me that if anyone ever crossed him, and I'm sure he forgot about this conversation, or the events that have transpired would not have taken place. He said, "If anybody ever crosses me, I'll take care of them. I'll put them in jail forever." I said, "How are you going to do that?" He said, "I have a friend on the police force who looks up to me, and I did him a favor once. And he said, I saved his life." I don't know what he meant by that. I really don't. He told me that this person had a young daughter, and they lived right near the park. And that if anybody ever crossed him, that they would arrange for the daughter to claim that she had been molested in the park. I said, well, you know, how are you going to prove who did it if they weren't even ever there? He said, everybody has distinguishing characteristics that are different from anyone else. And every car has characteristics that are distinguishable from every other car. I told him that I thought that that was the wrong thing to do and that I didn't approve of that. I told him it was especially wrong to use a little child for something like that. He got angry and he told me, well, you just watch if somebody crosses me. He had this terrible look on his face. I told Annie about it when I went home that night. And she was equally incredulous. We didn't know that this person had that kind of venom in him. So when the police walked in here and asked whose automobile was the black blazer outside, and accused Bart of molesting a child in the park, I was pretty sure what happened. And by the way, during the conversation, he told me the name of the officer. But I didn't have any proof, and I didn't know that the father was a police officer. And so we all departed for our 4th of July. While I was gone, I made some calls. I made some calls, and I told some key people about the conversation that I'd had with this gentleman months ago. And bear in mind, the police wouldn't tell us anything. There was no police report. Nobody knew anything. Nobody still knows anything. Except the man that I had the conversation with has revealed that it was a police officer and it was his friend. Now, before all this happened, I had notified these people of the conversation and told them verbatim what had transpired. There's still no police report. There has never been an arrest. In effort to detract suspicion from himself, this person has been telling people in town that there has been an arrest. And I'm going to tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, if anyone is arrested, I will go to their lawyer, to the district attorney, and to the judge and tell them what I know. Because nobody is going to get hurt by this person because I made a mistake and tried to help him by hiring his son. This coincided with the problem with the Constitution Party. It also coincided with a major attempt to destroy Craig Smith, who owns Swiss America Trading, by the Arizona Republic and the same scum slimeball David Frisky, who printed the yellow journalism lies about me. You see, Craig Smith sponsors not only Hour of the Time, but many Patriot broadcasts. He does it because he cares about this country. He'd have a lot more business if he didn't, I'll tell you that. And that's another pain in my heart, that someone else is going to suffer because of what I say over the air. The article should be out this weekend or next weekend. It will be a weekend article. You know, those are the papers that people really read. So if you'd like to tell Mr. David Frisky what you think of him, call the Arizona Republic in Phoenix. Ask for David Frisky. Tell him we really don't appreciate what he's doing and that we know, and he is, nothing but a puppet for the Anti-Defamation League, which is the biggest criminal spy organization in this country. So now you know what's just been eating me up inside and why I did what I did last night. That's no excuse for it. But at least now you know. I'm not going to let this go away. Not only that, but over a year ago, we had our first conference. This last one we had was the second. Over a year ago, we had our first conference. And this man is literally lying to the people in this town to try to make it very difficult for us to live here. I hired him to cater the camp out and to provide equipment and ammunition for the shoot at the range. I hired him. I told him to give me a bill and to make sure that everybody that participated that needed to be paid was paid. He provided the food, provided the utensils, everything. He submitted a bill. I asked him if everybody on that was on that bill to be paid, and if everything was okay. He said, yes, don't worry about it. I asked him if he needed any help with anything. He said, no. I thanked him. We paid him. We have the bill. We have the canceled check. He's now telling everybody in town that we didn't pay him. He didn't have any help. And now I'm starting to hear that maybe he didn't pay the people that helped that he was supposed to pay. Maybe he put that money in his own pocket. So, these are the problems that we're having. And I really don't know what to do about them, except I do know that we're going to continue broadcasting, continue publishing the paper. We're not going anywhere. And we're not going to let this thing about this frame-up drop. I'm in the process of writing letters to the chief of police, to the sheriff, and to the state of Arizona attorney general. And, of course, I have all the witnesses that I told about this conversation before I could have ever known about any of this. And they know the name that I gave them that was given to me during the conversation. And it will all come out in the wash, believe me. And now I find myself putting this shell back around me. I don't want anybody close to me anymore. And I know that that's wrong, too, and I don't really know what to do about that. Because he was the first one that I'd opened up to in years. And anyway, it's not your problems, it's my problems. And I will confront them and deal with them and solve them the best way that I can. And I will continue to fight as I always have. And I will continue to take the hits and the bullets because I'm standing in the front line right in front of the whole army of the enemy. And it's exactly where I want to be. Don't go away. On July 29, 1995, from 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. in Phoenix, Arizona, I suggest you attend. Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Cooper, the gunner's guru and editor-at-large from Guns and Ammo magazine, distinguished founder of Gunsight, founding president of the International Practical Shooting Confederation, director of the National Rifle Association, father of the modern pistol technique, will be there, along with Wayne C. Benson, United States District Court Certified Expert Witness on the Freedom of Information Act, FOIA, and on the computer codes of the alleged Internal Revenue Service. He is a 22-year researcher on the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms in the Internal Revenue Service, and he's a member of the American Society of Access Professionals. July 29, 1995, from 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Phoenix, Arizona. It will be at the Holiday Inn at 2532 West Peoria and Interstate 17 Freeway in Phoenix, Arizona. That's the Holiday Inn at 2532 West Peoria and Interstate 17 Freeway in Phoenix, Arizona. The price is $60 prepaid money orders only or $75 cash only at the door. Price includes all class materials, including important government documents and a specialized BATF FOIA manual. Now, folks, at this seminar, you will learn these things. The statutory relationship between the BATF and the Internal Revenue Service, which is only an alias for the Federal Alcohol Administration. The Federal Alcohol Act was declared unconstitutional by the United States Supreme Court in the 1930s and thence moved to Puerto Rico, a territory of the federal United States. You'll learn the statutory interrelationship among BATF, the IRS, the U.S. Secret Service, Maine Treasury, and U.S. Customs Service, and how this affects you. You'll learn how the BATF's lawful jurisdiction is only relevant to Puerto Rico and what that means to you. You'll learn how federal firearms licenses, or FFLs, are statutorily relevant only to federal territories, and how gun dealers in the 50 states have been tricked into filing for and signing these forms, and what they can do about this now. You'll also learn the statutory structure of the BATF and how to effectively file Freedom of Information Act requests for the BATF, U.S. Secret Service, Maine Treasury, and United States Customs Service to get the answers that they don't want you to have. You'll learn how to make an effective FOIA request to BATF pertaining to the Waco massacre. Also on sale at the seminar, folks, will be a secret 400-plus page official United States Treasury document signed by Lloyd Benson, Treasury Secretary, detailing the Waco incident with accompanying FOIAs which you can file to discover and uncover federal government abuses and lies. If you'd like to reserve your space, I suggest you send $60 money order only, overnight mail. Overnight. Send it to Wayne C. Benson, 405C, South Beeline Highway, Payson, Arizona, 85541. That's Wayne C. Benson, 405C, South Beeline Highway, Payson, Arizona, 85541. Or you can call 602 or 502, whichever one works, 472-1022. That's 520-472-1022. And, folks, after July 1st, there will be no refunds on cancellations on prepaid tickets. If you pay at the door, it's $75 cash only. Hope to see you there. I will be there. I want to learn what this man can teach me. Now, what else do I have here? I got all kinds of stuff, I think. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what I want to read here. Sorry about that. I hit the mic stand. That's a no-no. here's something that we need desperately. If you know where to get it. The Waco Investigative Committee cannot get their hands, and this is not true. They can get their hands on whatever they want because they have the power of subpoena. So they're telling people they can't get their hands on this. This is a whitewash, I'm telling you folks. But let's get it for them if we can so that they don't have an excuse. The Waco Investigative Committee cannot get their hands on a copy of the ops manual for the use of CS gas. The Justice Department has set up a stone wall for them there in Washington, D.C. Pathetically, we've come up with nothing here except older military issues, which are only defensive. For obvious reasons, ladies and gentlemen, they need to see the instructions for the use of those canisters. Dr. Fran Haga. would be able to testify, and she'll tell them the truth. If she could look them square in the eyes and say it was sent anonymously, it would help stave off Herr Schumer. Nazi Schumer. If you can help, send it to Dr. Fran Haga, H-A-G-A, 325 Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast, Suite 019, Washington, D.C., 20003. Again, that's Dr. Fran Haga, H-A-G-A, 325 Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast, Suite 019, Washington, D.C., 20003. So, we need that. Operations manual for the use of CS gas by the Justice Department or by any law enforcement or branch of whatever. Anything we can get will be helpful. Now, this is a fax that came in that may help answer some of the questions that were asked the other night. Re 18 July 1995 broadcast ELF questions. The towers and transmitters are part of the GWEN system, G-W-E-N, which is the acronym for Ground Wave Emergency Network, that supported the U.S.'s nuclear triad. The program was initiated by the old Strategic Air Command and was designed to link SAC command posts together. SAC is the acronym for Strategic Air Command. One of my old outfits when I was in the Air Force. I was attached to the 494th Bomb Wing, which was the 4245th Bomb Wing. To my knowledge, the environmental studies required and performed prior to their installation did not identify any health hazards for the surrounding communities. The GWEN project manager used to be at Offutt Air Force Base, Northeast, Nebraska, I'm sorry. I just got through reading a Washington, D.C. address and made the wrong connection there. The GWEN project manager used to be at Offutt Air Force Base, Nebraska. However, due to the various organizational realignments, I have no idea where that project office is anymore. I am familiar with the program because I was on active duty with the Air Force in a quality control inspection during the pre-installation phase of one of those sites, for what it's worth. Here's a letter that was sent today. Gentlemen, the testimony yesterday of the 14-year-old girl as to the alleged molestation by the late David Koresh is not germane to the House hearings on the deaths at Waco. The following questions are germane. One, did the BATF have a valid warrant to search for unlawful firearms with them on the morning of 28 February 1993? Two, did the BATF attempt to serve the warrant or did they shoot first? Three, was there probable cause to believe that the Branch Davidians were operating a drug laboratory which initiated the active participation of the U.S. military? Four, oh, by the way, I want to interject something here. You know, for over a year, well over a year, they claimed that there was no active military participation. We all know that's a lie. We knew it from the beginning. Now they're admitting it. Four, did the hostage rescue team of the Federal Bureau of Investigation use excessive force in resolving the standoff on April 19, 1993? The hearings are supposed to get to the bottom of these questions. David Koresh's alleged nastiness with young girls, which, by the way, was investigated by Texas authorities and found groundless, is not an issue, at least not an issue for the BATF or the FBI. And here's another one. Sent to the committee. Pardon me for thinking the Waco hearings on excessive force would be what the people would expect from our leaders. The proceedings yesterday sounded very much like David Koresh was and is on trial. I did not know the man, and God will judge him. If a man should be put on trial for sexual actions, then our president should be front and center. Let us get back to the purpose of the hearings. One, was there a knock on the door? Two, was there a warrant? Three, was there excessive force? A, use of military equipment. B, use of military personnel. Four, play the original 911 tapes unaltered. A, proves Bill Johnston was lying. 1, Bill Johnston needs to be charged with perjury after listening to the 911 tapes. America is looking to you for the truth, not personal opinion, just facts. Please let us hear them. May God move all of you to tell the true facts. The American people are watching and listening very. It said, we know who you are and we saw what you did. And I loved it. And here's one from somebody in Michigan. And it has this paragraph up here. He doesn't cite the source, which I have berated everyone over and over again for. He wants me to believe that this is accurate, with no source, no page number, no nothing, doesn't say where it came from, anything. Unbelievable. How people just, you know, I don't understand it. So I can't even check this. But here's what it says. Quote, according to my own extensive research over more than 3 decades into the overall communist, Zionist, Masonic conspiracy, the Soviet intelligence apparatus has functioned almost unhindered throughout Britain, France, the United States, and indeed most of the rest of the world ever since the completion of the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. It was only in Nazi Germany and imperialist Japan that they found any real opposition. These treacherous enemies of mankind have otherwise scored victory after victory after victory over their basically lukewarm opponents in Western intelligence agencies, so much so that it's been almost a one-sided battle. I know this to be true because way back when, while working for police intelligence as an undercover operative within the communist New Left movement, while also reporting to the FBI and the House Committee on Un-American Activities, HCUA, there were so many hundreds of thousands of active Reds involved in everything that we could barely begin to cope with them. And believe me, they're more active than ever. Only there's absolutely no United States agency now to even watch them. End quote. No source, no nothing. And by the way, this agrees with everything that I've ever said on this broadcast. I have stated that over and over and over again. So I don't really know what he's talking about that he disagrees with me until I get down here. Here's what he says. Hello, Mr. Cooper. I guess I am what you would call a wacko who believe the Jews done it. Well, sir, it is far from that simple. But this short paragraph above explains, briefly and simply, who our greatest enemies are. This is the faction that is way out in front of the race for the New World Order. It is not the Nazis like you are caught up thinking. It is hoped that you will see the light and be man enough to look past your ego and admit that you were just a little wrong. Then we can put aside this petty human ego business and get to the business at hand. The enemy is clearly identified above, and the USA is the target at hand. You claim you are trying to save this nation. What more is there to say? It is time to do, and it won't be done through bullets either, so revise that thinking, and that's it. Well, folks, I have made it very clear that the Zionist movement and the Masonic movement are part and parcel what's destroying this country. And communism. Basically, there are 4 groups vying for control of the world, and they have paired up. There's the French Lodge and the Communists, and the British Lodge and the Zionists, and the Vatican, for some reason, usually sides with the Communists. And I believe it's because of their war with British Freemasonry for centuries. Remember, King Henry VIII broke away from the Catholic Church. So, these 2 basic forces of combined other forces are vying for control of the world. They're all socialists. Doesn't matter which side wins, it's going to be socialism. And it's not all Jews. There are a lot of Jews involved. There are also a lot of Christians who are Zionists who are involved. Jerry Falwell is a Zionist. In fact, I'm going to tell you this right now, there are more Christian Zionists than there are Jewish Zionists. And not all Jews are Zionists, and not all Jews are mixed up in anything.
In fact, most Jews, like most Catholics, like most Protestants, like most atheists, aren't a part of any of this, don't know what the hell is going on any more than anybody else does, and are being manipulated just like the rest of us. And he sort of gives a hint up here. He says, not the Nazis, and it wasn't Japan. But he fails to put any blame where it belongs, right here in the United States. One of the greatest forces for world government is the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, headquartered in Washington, D.C. And most of the members are not Jews. Most of the British are not Jews, but they're Zionists. They're British Israelists. The two are inseparable. If you're one of these racists who believes that you are the real Israel, and the real Israel is the Aryan Anglo race, you are a British Israelist, and you are helping to bring about the destruction of the United States of America. And that, unfortunately, you don't want to hear, but it's the truth. Are you really so blind as to think that all of these Jewish people out there are trying to destroy this country and create a one world government? How do you account for the fact that most of them are just as poor as you are? Most of them are working at the same jobs that you're working at, don't have any influence, never heard of any of this. If you were to tell them about this stuff, they'd say you were crazy, just like the Protestant guy down the street and just like the black dude over there in the ghetto. If you want to believe it, you have a right to believe it. But don't make the mistake of trying to eliminate those that you so wrongly perceive to be your enemies. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. This is WWCR or KDNO or Satellite G2 Channel 14 7.56 audio. By the way, folks, if you're out there listening on shortwave, you can get us on satellite if you have a satellite system on G2. Now, they told us it was Galaxy 6, and G2 is Galaxy 6, and that's what the mix-up's all about. So if you try to get us on G6 and couldn't find us, it's because Galaxy 6 is not G6, it's G2. G2. So we're on satellite G2, channel 14, 7.56 audio. We are brought to you by Swiss America Trading. Swiss America Trading is under attack by the same yellow, scum-sucking Marxist journalist, David Fritzy, that attempted to roast me over the coals in the Arizona rag. The Arizona Republic rag newspaper. Now, if you think that because you've got two newspapers in your town, you're getting balanced reporting, think again. If you read the articles in both papers, you'll find that they're generally the same. If you check the ownership of both papers, you'll find that they're generally owned by the same people. They publish two papers to give you the feeling that you're getting balanced reporting, and you're not. In Phoenix, all the papers are owned by the same people. So, it doesn't matter which one you read. You're not getting any balanced reporting. And the only free press is free for the owner of that press and nobody else. They promote their agenda. Agenda is world totalitarian Marxist socialist government. I hope you'll call our sponsors and tell them that you're solidly on their side. Tell them that if they lose business because of this, you can be counted upon to at least give them a little business. And they will lose business because of this, because the sheeple believe that what's printed in the paper is true. Unfortunately, we just can't change that attitude in most people. They're going to need your support. It's going to get slim pickings there for a while. And I hope that as a loyal listener to this broadcast, you will help support them in their time of need. So go through your finances, wait a couple of weeks, and if you can possibly afford to buy at least one silver coin, which is not going to bankrupt you, please do that. And it will help you put some of your assets and precious metals where they should be. Where they should be, protected against the constant devaluation of what they call the dollar. It's not really a dollar at all. A dollar is a unit of measurement of a substance called money. Did you know that debasement of the United States coinage is punishable by death? Did you know that the law says exactly what money is and what our coins are supposed to be? And do you know that they are not that? We don't have any money. Clearly, under the law, those who are responsible should be tried, convicted, and put to death. But they won't be. Because they're in control. So, ladies and gentlemen, even if you don't care about what's happening in the Arizona Republic, I hope you care enough about your assets to call Swiss America Trading at 1-800-289-2646 and get some of your assets protected by the only thing in the history of the world that has maintained its value no matter what. And I mean, no matter what. Also, if you care about this broadcast, and if you care about Swiss America Trading, call the Arizona Republic, ask for David Fritzy, and tell him what you think of this little scumbag ADL puppet. And that's exactly what he is. He's also the most unmitigated barefaced liar that's ever walked across the face of this earth. I don't know what he's cooked up. I advised Craig Smith not to speak to him, and Craig took my advice. Fritzy was enraged, but he cannot quote Craig Smith. He'll probably do what he did to me. I refused to grant him an interview. He just made up an interview. And that's how it works, folks. Moving west. Yes, sir. Somebody advised me to say this every once in a while, so I will. You're listening to Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. I guess that's for people who tune in late and don't know what they're listening to. You got to remember, folks, I'm not a radio personality. I don't care about ratings. I just care about waking up one more person every night if I can. And if all I'm talking to is that one person, I'm happy. Really. That's the truth. That's the whole purpose of this broadcast, is try to wake up at least one more person every night and swell the ranks of real Americans who know the real truth and are not living in fantasy land anymore. And I hope that we're doing that. I also hope that you're listening to my admonition to listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it. And I hope you're writing down the references and statutes and codes and everything else that I give you on the air. And I hope you're going to your libraries and your federal depository libraries and looking these things up and verifying them. Because that's the greatest way to awaken. And then you can take that, make copies, and show it to other people. And you, too, can be a messenger and wake people up. And it is so important that you do that. Well, I've run out of what I wanted to talk about, so I'm going to talk about Veritas. And it's out, by the way. Some of you may have gotten yours in the mail today, if you live in Arizona. And maybe even if you live somewhere else, because sometimes, unexplainably, the bulk rate mail gets there faster than first-class mail. And at other times, it takes 2-3 weeks to get to where it's going, and I can't explain that disparity at all. The headline story, Fort Knox empty, biggest heist in history. And when you read that, oh boy, is it going to make you mad. Another one, Wake Up America, How Money System Really Works by Stephen Jacobson. GSA auction yields $10,000 gold note. Let me read you some of these letters to the editor. I like what you put in the Veritas paper on issue number 4 about the Albert Pike statue written by Anton Chaikin. Schiller Institute, Keep Educating the People, Lester Dahlberg, Texas. I'm sorry, Lester. I don't normally read people's names. I just did it. I won't do it again. I have a policy. I don't read people's names unless they specifically give me permission. But, you know, I guess it doesn't matter. It's in the newspaper. So I guess I can, yeah, for this. I'm getting newspaper and radio mixed up. Here's another one. I just got issue number 4, and it is absolutely fantastic. The best revealing information you can't find anywhere except in Veritas newspaper. The best revealing information on those people that are destroying our country, the United States of America. I can't say enough. Absolutely the best in the country. A superb publication of the most revealing informations that the socialists don't want you to see. Veritas. Thank you again. God bless you. And I can't pronounce this name, so I'm not going to try because I don't want to get it wrong and insult somebody. Next one. I read the first 3 copies of Veritas, and I thought it was rather lightweight. I figured it was pretty tough to get something like this off the ground. I persevered. I read issue number 4, and I want you to know that I am now very impressed. Issue number 4 is a knockout. It has already been well circulated. It had everything. The story on Pike, great. Thank you. Don't thank me. Thank Anton Chaikin. I am a teacher of social studies in a rural public high school, and my students get to know the other side. They keep asking why they don't hear about the real news on TV, etc. I tell them. I tell them the truth about militias, Bilderbergers, the strangeness of Oklahoma City, etc. I listen to you on shortwave. Could you please make sure I get issue number 5? I can't wait. J.L. Lamack, New York. By the way, since you're a school teacher, let me tell you something I'm extremely proud of. There are 3 high schools in the state of California that have ordered many copies of my book, paid for with a high school check. Now that, folks, is extremely promising. The next one, my subscription to Veritas is giving me one hell of an education. I could go on and on. I am enclosing a contribution to help Veritas to keep on keeping on and on. Thank you all. God bless you all. J.G. Benchke, Rhode Island. And the next one, keep up the good work and be careful. We need this paper, and we need you safe so you can continue in this endeavor. Thank you very much, Larry Baxter, Texas. Also, we ran a correction. This is the only paper where you'll see we correct our mistakes every time we make them. It's on the second page, folks. Correction, due to a typographical error, the detonating velocity of ammonium nitrate was listed as 11,000 feet per second in the last issue of Veritas. It is actually only 1,100 feet per second, and so that it wouldn't be taken out of context, we printed the entire page from the Department of the Army Field Manual Explosives and Demolitions, FM5-25, again. There's an excellent story here by Michael Pardo on July the 2nd and John Adams, the Unsung Hero. Another one by Bob Ross, who was one of our speakers at our conference on law and treason in the federal government. And the symbology column, as usual, will just knock you right flat out. Tarot, the Fool, and Jack. How many of you saw the movie? What was the name of that movie? The Night Before the Halloween Before Christmas or something like that? Well, anyway, he explains all of the meaning of that movie. County orders, take medicine or face arrest. They've ordered an entire county to take medicine. Many Russians fear future rights abuses. The people in Russia. In fact, I'm going to read you this article. You need to hear this. You need to hear this tonight. This is really funny. Moscow. President Boris Yeltsin has given the successor agency of the KGB the power to allow searches without warrants, legalize electronic surveillance, and revive gathering of foreign intelligence. Democratic reformers and human rights activists called it an effort to revive the hated KGB. This new law adds another sweeping revision of the communist-era spy agency. The new powers went into effect when Yeltsin signed the Federal Security Services Act in the beginning of April. Because the legislation was approved by the Russian parliament in late February, his delay in endorsing the Federal Security Services Act brought hopes that its scope might be restricted. However, Yeltsin had proposed a measure to broaden the Federal Counterintelligence Agency's powers, so his signature caught no one by surprise. Most Russians are struggling with the chaotic economic transition and rampant corruption and increasing crime are very large concerns. Through these fears, was the parliament able to pass the presidential proposal of increased power to the state? That noise you heard was a cricket that jumped right on the microphone. Former dissidents say that the increased powers are an attempt to reassert control over the people rather than a crime control tactic. The law validates and legalizes a whole array of human rights violations and infringements, which gives the security forces an opportunity to intervene in citizens' private lives, carry out surveillance, tap phones, and inspect personal correspondence, said the deputy chairman of the Parliamentary Committee on Judicial and Legal Reform, Viktor Pokhmelkin, who is a member of the pro-democracy Russia's Choice Party. So, I thought that was very interesting. You see, the same thing is happening in Russia, and you thought that they were getting freedom. They're getting what we're getting here, because it's all going to be combined eventually. In the new world order. Lemon water for your health. Another excellent column by Ann Houston, RN. Satire. Assault coffee, anyone? That's really a good one. By Michael Dislip. Police say automatic rifles minimize risks. And then you got pages of pictures of money, which shows the changes in the contract written on the, actually I should say paper, with the changes in the contract written on them so that you can see how they slowly changed the contract and took us from money to worthless paper over the years. We also have two comparative tables here. Hewlett-Donyon Catalog of United States Small Size Paper Money, 10th Annual Edition, 1974, and the Comprehensive Catalog of U.S. Paper Money, 1977, where you can see where all of a sudden notes that were never printed exist. Oh, it was The Nightmare Before Christmas. That's it. Fantastic review of the symbology in that movie. When you read this, you're just going to be so shocked. And it'll change your whole idea about going to the movies forever. And that is a good idea. So, if you haven't purchased your copy yet, we have some copies, and believe me, within a very short time, they'll all be gone. In fact, I bet you most of them are already purchased. The checks are probably already in the mail. As soon as we receive them, they'll be going out. If you would like to have a copy of this issue, which is a historic issue, no one else has ever dared to touch these subjects before in a major media newspaper, and it's going to be placed on the desk of everybody in Washington, D.C. Also, by the way, folks, we have sat down and thought it over and talked to distributors, and there's no way that we can do this paper every 2 weeks. We're going to a monthly format, and remember, we did not promise every 2 weeks. We said that we would try our very best for 2 weeks. We didn't know if we could do it. Well, we determined that we can't. This type of newspaper, which is not a daily newspaper, the distributors have advised us that it would be best to do it, publish it on a monthly basis, so that it can sit on the shelves and will be more widely distributed and sold across the country. So this issue is actually the July issue, but you will see August on the banner, and you will no longer see a date. It will still be the same outstanding quality publication. If we have something special to say, and we need to get it out real quick, you may get one in 2 weeks after you received another one. I can't say yes or no, but this is what we're doing. So, if you'd like to have a copy of this issue and don't have enough or don't want to subscribe, just send $5, that's postpaid, $5, to Veritas, spelled V as in Victor, E-R-I-T-A-S, P.O. Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. That's Veritas, P.O. Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. If you'd like information, and there may not be anybody answering the phones because everything is in turmoil around here, and me in particular, I'm wearing so many hats and doing so many different things, it's going to be extremely difficult to get in touch with me until everything is settled down and the party is put together, because that's my main worry right now. I've got to do right by the members of the Constitution Party, and that's what I'm working on. But you can call Veritas. Mike should be here. If he's not, just leave a message and he'll get back to you. The number is 520-337-2878. That's 520-337-2878. Good night, everybody, and God bless you all.